Welcome to Session 11 in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. Again, as for each session, you'll need your workbook, and this session will be no exception. Don't forget, when you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here into the studio. So now let's listen in to Session 11.
Welcome, everyone, to Session 11 in our 12-week program with Gary Cox. We're just about done with this exciting program. Can you believe that it's been nearly 3 months since Session 1? In today's session, we will complete the goal-setting process in its entirety. Session 7 was the last session that Gary discussed the goal-setting process in detail. But today, he will share with us the three final steps that will contribute to our goal-setting success. To conclude this session, Gary will finish by going through each step in the goal-setting process to make sure we all have a thorough understanding of it. Once again, I'd like to welcome personal growth expert and life strategist and my personal friend, Gary Cox.
Well, thank you, Clem. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. How about you?
Very good, as always. It's great to hear your voice. And thanks for helping out tonight again, as always.
Listen, I'm always available for Gary Cox.
Thank you. Well, we want to say hello to everybody, and thanks again for taking your time. Can you imagine? It's just about 3 months, and we only have one more session after this. So we're at Session 11 today. And we're going to go over a little bit before we get to Session 11. Let's talk about some of the things that we discussed in Session 10 as a quick review. And then we'll get started in wrapping up the goal-setting process before we get to next week's session. We talked a lot last session about the fear of failure, different fears that we might have, and how to handle the fear of failure. Also, a lot of people have the fear of success, and we discussed that quite, in pretty good detail. A lot of things that we talked about that was very important is understanding that failure, whether it be a fear of success, a fear of failure, these are basically perceptions, but we need to really learn how to master those perceptions, and we went over that in Session 10. One of the main points I think that was very important in Session 10 was on page 1 with the statement, we must be able to see the differences between a plan not working or failing and feeling like a failure. Too often, if things don't work our way, we feel, if we're not careful, we take it personally, and we personally feel like a failure. We've got to understand when things don't work our way, that is basically the plan itself not working out, or the plan failed, and we have to see where we draw that line there. If we don't, we're not going to have the right attitude. We're going to have the perception that we are a failure, and if we do that, it's going to be very, very difficult to try again, because we're going to reason in our minds, why try again just to go ahead and try to fail? We talked about how to manage the fear of success. Remember, we need to work on determining the root cause, then identify when the fear starts to start up, if you will, or learn to identify the onset of the fear as we work toward our goals, and then we need to attack the root cause and the fear immediately. We talked about how to do that, and of course, we want to continue to follow through on our goals. So we want to make sure we don't allow the fear of success or the fear of failure to slow us down toward mastering the art of following through. Well, let's go ahead and start now with Session 11. Hopefully, you've been able to go on to the Business Center and print your information for page 1, Session 11. Let's get started. What we're going to do, we're going to add now to our goal-setting process. The last goal-setting process that we had was on Session 7, and we had 6 specific things that we concluded with on Session 7, so Session 11 is where we're going to go ahead and add to it. We're at the 7th step on Session 11, where it reads, when do I plan to start? We want to fill in the blank there with the word start. When do I plan to start? Good question. When do I plan to start? A lot of people, they think, well, the goal is something 10 years from now, or maybe it's, you know, way in the future. So if it's 5 years from now, I won't start planning it till maybe 2 years from now, whatever. But the next statement is what's really important. Let's continue. Just about any goal can begin now. Fill in the blank with the word now. Just about any goal can begin now. No matter how far out the completion time, the next blank is time, the word time, no matter how far out the completion time may be, or how large or monumental the goal. One more time. Just about any goal can begin now, no matter how far out the completion time may be or how large or monumental the goal. Friends, remember what the word now means? Now means no for the N, no W waiting. No waiting. Now means no waiting. Here's what happens, and I've noticed with a lot of people when they try to get into personal growth or they just try to better themselves and set their goals. A lot of people who are not used to stretching and going forward, they have a tendency to become very overwhelmed. The reason being is they're starting to see the possibilities of getting and attaining their goals. And as they see these possibilities, they say, okay, here I am now, and the possibility of attaining this or that is possible. But as they start thinking about where they're at now, comparing to the contrast of where they want to be, they see that gap there, and it's really, really wide. For example, if I told you when I started in my business, and when I started 12 or whatever years ago, and as I got started, if I said to you, 10, 15 years from now, I'm going to be doing the exact things that I'm doing today, I would have said, no way. And if I had a thought about having the goals years ago about attaining the things I've attained now, I would have been so overwhelmed because I wouldn't even think it would be possible. Unfortunately, I don't really like to admit that, but it's really true. And for some people, it's the same way. They look at, well, I'd like to do this and be able to have this and do this and do that. Oh, my goodness, how can I do that? Look where I'm at now. And that's where that gap comes in, that contrast that really slows us down. So we want to talk about how, even though it may be years or many, many months, how can we maintain that perception of starting things now without getting so discouraged? Well, one of the things that we're going to have to do, let's go to the next statement. What can I specifically do now? Fill in the word now again. What can I specifically do now to start my goal? If you have a goal that's 5 years from now and you are penniless, there are still things that you can do right now to work toward your goals. And a lot of people don't realize that because they get so overwhelmed. They think, well, you know, it's going to be years before I can even start. Friends, always try to start something now. Anytime that's possible, make it happen. And here's how we would do that, specific ways we would do that. Let's use a tangible goal. And we're going to use a goal of a house. Imagine that you wanted a house. And the house that you wanted would take years for you to afford, to accumulate the money to make that house happen. Let's say at this very point you are penniless. What can you do specifically now to start that goal? Here's something that you can do, as simple as it sounds, and it sounds very, very simple and maybe even silly to some people, but I'll explain to you the power of doing it. You could get a piece of paper, a simple piece of paper that you could borrow if you couldn't afford a piece of paper. I think we all can afford a piece of paper. Get a piece of paper and with a pen or pencil, sketch out that dream house. You don't even have to be an artist. Your house might look like a car. It doesn't matter. As long as it, to you, is a house, that's all that matters. But here's the point. You're getting the ball going. You're starting things forward. You're doing something simple, something small to get started. When? To get started now. Not a month from now, not a year from now. You're doing something simple. As you start getting more money, you could make it a goal in 6 months when you can afford maybe $100, you could have an artist draw this dream house for you. And then when you get more money, you could go ahead and maybe purchase the property. And then maybe when you get a little bit more money, you could pay for somebody to draw a very, very professional drawing, which may cost $500 or $1,000, something along that line. There's a specific house that my wife and I have designed. In fact, when we knew we never had the money and it would be years before we would have the money, we actually sat down and designed our home. Now, we bought a new home now, but that home we're just going to live in there for a little while until we build our next home. And what's interesting is we've been doing this for years, and we started with a drawing that cost us nothing. And we could still keep this idea alive by going to model homes. What's it cost you to go to a model home? You get in your car, you drive a couple miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, whatever. You start looking at homes and thinking, oh, that would be neat. I'd like to use that idea in my house, and so on and so forth. No matter what the goal is, we can usually start with a pen and paper. Figure some way out, no matter what your goals are, what can you specifically do now to start your goals? Let's go to the next statement. The next statement, very, very powerful. go beyond visualization. Go beyond visualization. Visualization. Go beyond visualization and use all of your senses. Fill in the last one there with the word senses. A lot of people who teach some of the things that I teach, they really go into this visualization stuff, and I think they go into it without enough balance. And some people literally get the impression that, what are you saying? I just visualize what I want, and I can just visualize getting this, and it's going to happen. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. But you see, if we know something, we talked about this early in the game here with this program, the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. See, when we visualize things, the mind starts working, and it can get us excited. You ever visualized about a specific thing, and it kind of motivates you and excites you a little bit? Well, we're only using one of our senses. Why don't we start touching and seeing and smelling and hearing? I mean, if, like, for me, the jet fuel, when I smell that, it makes me get excited. Now, remember, it's just the exhaust, not a can of fuel I'm going to sniff. But maybe for you, it's going into a model home and smelling the new paint in the furniture, and it kind of gets you excited to maybe work a little bit more toward your goal, and then you smell the furniture, and you sit on the couch, or you lay down on the bed. All these different things are things that we can use to trigger that nervous system. Let's go to the next sentence. This will, fill in the blank with the word will, this will assist in keeping you, let me back up, I played a little trick on you. I want you to cross the word will out, and I want you to add the word this can. Because for some people, this does not work. For other people, it works more. So it could, this can assist you in keeping your what? In keeping your motivation and enthusiasm at a higher level. This can assist in keeping your motivation and enthusiasm at a higher level. If you're the type of person that just walks around, you don't get excited about too many things, you can visualize and smell the furniture and smell the leather and touch it all day long, and it won't move you anywhere. But if you get excited about little things and you smell the jet fuel or you touch the leather and you feel the polished paint, you're going to get excited about it. And you're going to kind of maybe picture yourself being able to own that or do this thing or do that thing. And that's the idea behind this. So that's where the nervous system comes into play. I remember years ago when I wanted to learn to fly helicopters, I would literally, as I'm driving the car, pretend as if I'm flying a helicopter. I know it sounds silly, but why would that be for many of us important, or how at least could it be effective? It can be effective because the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. So if we can imagine flying the helicopter or imagine doing certain things, it can excite us. And we want to use as much as we can. Remember, we talked about this earlier. Look for ways to fuel our passion. Let's go to number 8. When do I plan to complete it? Fill in the blank with the word complete. When do I plan to complete it? Now, this is a good one. Very good question. Before answering this question, don't forget to figure out the what. Fill in the blank with the word price. P-R-I-C-E. We talked about that extensively earlier in the program. So before we can answer this question, the question is what? When do I plan to complete it? We've got to count the price. What's the price that we're going to have to pay? When I got into goal setting and personal growth, I tell you, I was so naive when it came to all this. I really thought that I could just write down my goals and I would say, you know, in 6 months from now, this is going to happen and that is going to happen. And I kid you not, when 6 months came, I wasn't even close. And that got me very, very discouraged. We have to understand that when we set our goals, if we don't have enough experience and we haven't taken the time to understand what's involved to attain these goals, we're going to put some completion time on it, and there's a chance and a possibility, and sometimes it's greater than others, that we're not going to attain the goal at a specific time, and then we start getting very discouraged. And that's something we certainly don't want to do, because we're going to create negative associations with goal setting. We're going to think, well, you know, I set this goal before, and I set that goal before, and a whole bunch of others, and never made them on time, so why bother set this? So here's the next statement we want to consider. If you don't complete your goal on time, fill in the blanks here, friends, it's not the end of the world. And I know you know that logically, but boy, sometimes emotionally, oh man, we can get so discouraged. If you don't complete your goal on time, it's not the end of the world. The reason I state that this way is because for me, oh my goodness, I thought it was. It's like I was just so discouraged, and I had to learn to master this, because if you don't, here's what happens. You get so obsessed about things all the time, and if you don't attain a specific goal at a certain time, you get really discouraged, depressed, disappointed. And here's the key. How are we going to enjoy the process? We've got to remember that success is a journey, not a destination. We believe it's a journey if we can enjoy the process, if we can enjoy no matter where we are, whether we're down here at the bottom, we're kind of in the middle, we're on the top, whatever. Because if we don't master that statement, that success is a journey, not a destination, and if we don't master that, here's the challenge. The challenge is no matter where we're at, we're never going to be happy. And we have to understand there are going to be times that when we set goals, they're not going to happen. And I used to get so discouraged. I'm at the point now that, look, I've learned to enjoy the whole process. You've got to learn to enjoy the whole process. You get to the point where you enjoy the entire process of life itself. And then as you set your goals, you still work diligently toward them. And if you don't make it on time, you just move on. And then you try to recalculate things and learn from it. Well, you know, maybe I thought this was the price, and oh my goodness, look what happened. I didn't realize this was the price. All right, don't beat yourself up. Just say, okay, here's what I could have done. I could have done this maybe a little better. I should have known this. I came into this a little naive. Let's go ahead and reset the goal. It looks like we're going to need another 3 or 4 months. It's okay to do that. Because if you're constantly beating on yourself, where is the fun in this? There is no fun. There's no enjoyment in this. And we have to really learn to master that. And I you know, sad to say, it took me a while to figure that one out. It really took me a while. And what made me figure it out is I was just at the point where I was just constantly discouraged. It was like never happy. No matter where I was never happy. And we can't allow that to happen, because if we allow that to happen, we're really robbing ourselves. And when we get this mastered, that it is a journey, not a destination, you know you have it mastered when you can be relatively understanding with yourself, and you can be relatively happy no matter where you're at, because no matter where you're at, remember, there's always somebody skinnier, prettier, faster, whatever than we are. And it can just go on and on and on and never end. And if we don't figure it out, you'll just never be happy. And that's the key here. We've got to learn to be happy with this and, you know, figure out when we plan to complete the goal. If we don't make it on time, as long as we gave our best effort, hey, it's okay. Let's recalculate things and move on. Isn't that so much easier to accept than constantly being discouraged? And if you're constantly discouraged and depressed, where's your energy and your drive and motivation to keep going? I would rather a person realize that, hey, I didn't make my goal on time, so I'm going to go ahead and extend things a little bit, see now that they're even happier, and because they accepted that, they're moving on and they're keep going, you know, they're still going forward. As opposed to a person who's very discouraged, and it's going to take them sometimes, you know, several days, sometimes for some people weeks, and many people months before they get back into that mentality again where they can keep going forward. So that's why it's important to really understand that particular point. Let's go to the next point, 9. Make an honest evaluation of your level of commitment. An honest evaluation. Remember what we said earlier, we can't change what we don't acknowledge. You've got to make an honest evaluation of your level of commitment. What do we mean by that? Some people are more committed than others, period. The key is, how committed are we? How committed are you? How can you define your level of commitment? You're going to define your level of commitment many times by the consistency and the amount of action you take toward your goals. A lot of people who are not very committed, who have themselves convinced that they are, they're always making excuses why they're not able to do this, or why they're not able to accomplish this, or why this happened to them. Remember that a person who thinks they're very committed, but they're really not, will always make excuses. A person who's truly committed usually does not make excuses. And commitment can be in different levels. I mean, if you're committed toward a goal and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt because you're working toward that goal, can you even be more committed? Most likely the answer would be yes. And could you be even more, and so on and so on? That answer would probably also be yes. On the other hand, there's people who think they're committed and there's so much room for them to grow to be even more committed. They're not really going forward, so they're not as committed as they should be. The level of commitment that they think they're at is not going to be enough to get them to go forward. And here's something that we can do to analyze how committed we are to specific things. We can ask the following question on session 11. Do you have a track record of following through? Good question to ask. Do you have a track record of following through? If the answer is yes, you'll probably do pretty well when you get to point 8 or step 8. When do I plan to complete it? Because you have a track record of following through. If you don't have a track record of following through on your goals, you need to really consider what you're doing here, because here's the challenge. If you don't have this track record of following through, what makes your level of commitment stronger or higher this time than it has in the past? See, that's something you're going to have to grapple with. Because if for all these years or months you just don't have this follow-through track record, and all of a sudden, oh, I've got this goal. Man, I've got a level of commitment. I'm going to follow through now. Are you just talking? Words are cheap. Or do you really know that you're really committed? Here's something to think about. Next point. Would you invest in, here's the blank, would you invest in you? Boy, that's a strong question. Got to take some soul searching here. Would you invest in you? Think about the following point here. If you have a goal, and let's say your goal took a team of people to make this goal happen, and everybody on your team were like you, what kind of team would you have? Something to think about. If everybody on your team were like you, what kind of a team would you have? Would you invest in that team, or would you fire that team? Would your team be consistent? Slow but sure, fast but sure, whatever. Are they consistent, or your team just keeps going no matter what? It keeps going, it keeps going. Or would you have a lazy team who always makes excuses, they're getting up late? Or would you have a team that says they're going to do certain things and they never do? They just like the excitement of things. They like the excitement of saying, look what I'm going to have, or look what I'm going to do. Here's my goals, but they don't follow through. Would you have a team that's focused? Would you have a team that's stressed out? So then, would you invest in your team? Would you invest in you? Now, I can look at myself because of my track record. I don't say this in a bragging way, but I say this to make a point. I would invest in my team. I would invest in me. And I think you can hear that confidence. Do you have that same confidence in yourself? Would you invest in the team that's just like you? And if so, why? If you wouldn't, now that's an interesting point. If you wouldn't, why wouldn't you? And this is where you have to be really honest. You could ask somebody else, maybe somebody you feel comfortable with, and you would say to that person, look, here are my goals. And I'm going to have a team of 20 people that are just like me. Would you invest in my company? Yes or no? You know, and if you've got a good friend and they look at you and say, well, yeah, and they're, you know, stammering a little bit or whatever, that's a sign. Because if they would invest in you, they'd probably say, yeah, when do we start? Use this information to figure all this out. Because if you don't have a track record, if you would invest in you, why would other people want to invest in you if you wouldn't? Now, if the answer is, well, you know, I don't know if I would invest in me, or maybe the answer is no, what would it take to have you invest in you? This is something you might want to write down. What specifically would you need to do to have you invest in you? What would you change? What would you do better? Because if we don't change these things, what are the odds of attaining our goals? They're going to be very slim. And that's why it's important to go through this information. It's really a self-analysis. And keep in mind, once we have all this information taken care of and mastered, then the setting of the goal is really not going to be that challenging. Now let's go ahead and start from the beginning now of setting the goal. So the first thing that we talked about was identifying the goal. You have to identify the specific goal. A number of people will say to me, well, Gary, you know, how many goals can I work on at a time? Each person is different. There's really no answer. Can you work on 2, 3, 4, and 5? Absolutely. I'm probably working on 20 or more at a time right now. If you're new into goal setting, if you're new into personal growth, you're probably going to be very, very overwhelmed to start off with. So you might want to just do a few at a time. The number one goals you want to start working on really is first you. If you don't take care of the inside, you're not going to be able to accomplish things externally on the outside. The first goals that you want to master would be the goals about yourself, the consistency, the ability to follow through, the ability to plan your strategies, the ability to take more time and plan things. All these different things are things that if we have a real flaw, we're going to want to master them, because what good is setting all these other goals if we don't have the inside taken care of, if we haven't figured ourselves out first? Because if we can't do that, the external goals are not going to happen. And if they do, it's going to take a long, long time. So we need to identify the goal. As you get into focusing more on this type of thinking, and as you're able to do one thing, two things, three or four things at a time, you'll see that you'll get used to this without being overwhelmed. You'll know when you're at that point, because you'll feel it. I mean, you won't have that overwhelming feeling. And then you can go ahead and add more goals to your list. So take it one step at a time, and if you think you can add some more things, fine. Again, the key is to stay very, very, very focused.
At this point, we've concluded page 1 in session 11. Now, in your workbook on page 2 of session 11, you'll see where we're concluding the setting the goal segment in this page. We'll focus on this page for the remaining part of this session. Now, if you want a head start, fill in the blanks on page 2 down there at the numbers 7, 8, and 9. And number 7, you'll fill in the blank with the word start. When do I plan to start? Number 8, fill in the word complete. When do I plan to complete it? And 9, with the word commitment. Make an honest evaluation of your level of commitment. Okay, it's time to listen in to the remaining segment. Enjoy.
One thing I do want to add with the 9 steps of the information on the setting of the goal is, don't allow yourself to get overwhelmed. And second, and very important, you will not have to go through every single one of these steps all the time. The key is if you can master the art of follow-through through the information that we have shared in all these many sessions, when you have the internal part mastered, all you have to start doing is pretty much identifying the goal, figuring out the steps that you need to do to accomplish this goal, and put yourself on some deadlines. Because when you have that figured out, you don't have to worry about, well, what's going to slow me down? What are some of my limitations? Because you've already mastered those limitations in the beginning of the program. The first thing that we talked about, again, was identifying the goal. And then we had a subpart of A and B. Will it take sub-goals to accomplish this? Most goals will take sub-goals. Recall earlier in this session, I spoke about that large gap between where we are now and where we would like to be, and that gap can be very overwhelming and cause us to become very discouraged. Well, one of the ways to minimize that gap, or not to make the contrast so great, is to have sub-goals toward accomplishing the big goal. In other words, if you can't jump from one mountain to another because the space is too big in between, what do we need to do? We need to what? Build a bridge. And as we build a bridge, we can slowly get over from one mountain to the next. And that's what these sub-goals do. They put a bridge between now and the end product, where we want to be. Don't forget that. The next point on that would be, if the answer is yes, that we have sub-goals, break them up into sub-parts, or these sub-goals. We want to write them down, and we want to work on each sub-goal as a building block toward the ultimate goal. The second thing that we talked about is, what step-by-step plan would I need to create so that I can accomplish this goal? Here's the key. I have seen a lot of people with goals. I've seen a lot of people with step-by-step plans. They know what they need to do, but they're not doing it. And that's why I've waited so long in this program to wrap up the actual setting the goal, wrap up the process of setting the goal. The reason being is if we don't have these other things that we've discussed over the many, many weeks that we've been doing this program, what good is this information? That's why it was not necessary to have this information in the beginning. Because if we have too many challenges internally to work with, having all this information in front of us is really going to do us no good. Having that step-by-step plan is ultimately important. And that's one of the simplistic parts of setting a goal. Once we set a goal, we have to put together what the plan is. Right away, once you have a goal, what's the plan? And then when you've mastered the internal part, the fear of failure, fear of success, all the psychological limitations, then you just become a moving machine. Here's the plan. When's it got to be done? Let's do it. And then where's the next plan? What's the next step? What's the next step? And you just keep knocking it out, knocking it out, knocking it out. Step three. Why must I attain this goal? Why must I attain this goal? We talked about the importance of having a why. Remember, whys are important. We need to go more beyond understanding that why. Having a why is great, but that's not enough. A lot of people will say, you know, what's your why? What's your why? Well, my why is this or my why is that. But keep in mind, if a person's why isn't of a high value to them, they're not going to move forward. It's not going to excite them. So just because a person has a why, that doesn't mean anything. What level of commitment do they have attached toward that why? Tons of people who smoke cigarettes have good reasons why they want to quit smoking. But they're still smoking, and they have been for years. So that why, remember, is not enough. It takes more than just having why. It's important, but if there's no value on that why, if it's not high enough, you can say why all you want. It will not move you to taking action. Very important to remember. The fourth step was to identify what we can do to fuel our passions that relates to attaining my specific goal. Look for ways to fuel your passions. Look for ways to keep yourself excited. You've got to look for ways to do this, because if you don't find ways to do this, the problem that you're going to have is that you're going to lose some of that enthusiasm. And it's so challenging to begin with, you want to look for as many ways to maintain your enthusiasm. You know, just yesterday I was flying back from Dallas, and I had another pilot with me in the airplane, and I just thought about something. I've always thought about, why is it that pilots, you know, young men and young women, 18, 20, 22 years old, why is it and how do they have the drive to come up with $50,000 to $100,000? That's what it costs for them to start from scratch to get to the point where they could qualify to maybe start with an airline. Where do they get this idea and how do they keep going forward and have invested $50,000 or $100,000? And by the way, this doesn't happen overnight. This takes years. I can promise you this. The odds of somebody starting their pilot career or their flying career and borrowing $50,000 to $100,000, the odds of them succeeding are a lot greater than people, for example, who maybe want to get into their own business. And I tried to analyze the two, and I thought about, why is that? And here's the reason. I figured out why. When you start a goal, let's say it's a business or something along that line. You start a goal, and a lot of people, if you've, you know, have half a sense and just open your eyes and look, you'll see that a lot of people just fizzle out. Maybe 2-3 months from now, they're gone. They don't work toward their goals. But here we've got some kids that have invested. They've talked mom and dad into giving them a loan, or they've, you know, financed this or mortgaged that, and they're going toward their goal day after day, month after month. Why is that? What's the difference? The difference is, though they've invested $50,000 or $100,000, every day, even though they're spending hundreds of dollars flying, they are flying. And that flying is like an addiction to them. They get excited. And you know what? Even though they're investing all this money, they still believe in 3 years from now or 4 years from now, sometimes it's a 7-year vision, that they're going to be a captain of an airline and they're going to make $250,000 and $350,000 or more $1,000 a year. But what's fueling them to get into debt every day for months, even literally years, is they feel the excitement every day when they're flying. A little bit of excitement, more excitement. Oh, they still get discouraged because look at all the money I'm spending. But the key is they're always fueling their passion, even though it's costing them. So what about you? Are you looking for ways, even though it might cost you? are you looking for ways to fuel your passion? Here are these are kids. They don't think about this consciously. They don't think, you know, how am I going to fuel my passion to keep myself going for 3 to 5 years before I get a decent job? They don't even have to think about it. They're just so excited about getting in an airplane. That is enough in itself to fuel their passion. We have to be the same way. We've got to look for ways to keep our excitement going. Look for the little things, the medium things, and the big things that get us excited and fuel our passion. This gets you excited. And when you get excited, you want to go back to the drawing board and do a little bit more, or go back to the grindstone there and grind a little bit more and work closer toward your goals. Passion is very important. Look for ways to fuel it. Keep yourself excited. The fifth step we talked about in the step five, who can I model or study that will help minimize my learning curve? Remember what that learning curve is. That learning curve is unfortunately what we all have to go through. We all go through a learning curve. The learning curve usually is very painful, it's very time-consuming, and usually is very, very costly. So if we can find somebody that is attaining or has attained the same goal or goals that we have, why not take some time and pick their brains? Find out what they have done, find out the rough times, find out the good times. Your goal in investigating and learning from them is simply to shave some of the learning curve off. If you can take that learning curve that would normally take 5 years and take it to 2 years, you saved yourself 3 years of anxiety by paying for a consultant, reading a book, interviewing somebody, learning from somebody. I tell you, this step here is priceless in itself. It really is. Then six, we talked about six. Are there any specific things that may prevent me from attaining this goal? This is, again, where we have to be honest with ourselves. What specifically might prevent you from attaining this goal? Is it a fear? Is it a limitation? Most likely, that's what it's going to be. For a lot of people, they just say, I just don't have any money. Well, maybe that's an excuse. There's money out there. Have we asked enough people for the money? Now, if we take these kids as an example, you know, here they are, 18 years old, 19, 20 years old, somehow they come up, and I tell you, there's a lot of them. There's a more out there than you think, because I'm around a lot of these students. These kids convince people somehow, a bank, a loan, parents, whatever, to get them $50,000 to $100,000. I would say in the last 3 to 5 young men and women that I've flown with, given them the opportunity to fly with me, each one of them have spent a minimum of $50,000. If they can find the money, you can find the money. And the final three things that we talked about this evening, when do I plan to start? Most goals we can start when? We can start now. N-O-W for no waiting. If you have to just use a piece of paper to get started then, great. Some goals you might want to wait a little bit to start. That's reasonable. It depends on the goal. But don't cut yourself short. Many goals can be started now with simply a photograph, a drawing, something simple that does not have to cost you a lot of money, but will still help fuel that passion to keep you going forward. When do I plan to complete the goal? Each goal is going to be different. Remember, we must count the cost. Figure out what the price is that we're going to have to pay to make this happen. Keep in mind, if for some reason you don't attain the goal at a specific time, try your very best not to allow it to discourage you, because if you allow it to discourage you, what's going to happen is you're going to start creating negative associations towards setting goals, and it's going to be a lot more challenging for you to try to set the next goal because you were discouraged because you did not complete the goal or a previous goal on time. So watch out for that. If you don't hit the goal on time, it's not the end of the world. It's okay. And the last one, make an honest evaluation of your level of commitment. Do you understand that commitment comes in specific levels? Can you see the levels in yourself? Can you see the levels change in yourself? Can you look at specific goals in your past and say, you know what, I was committed to this goal, I made it happen, but if I was more committed, it would have happened quicker, or I would have been able to do even more of this or more of that. Look for different levels of commitment. Find out what it is in life outside of these specific goals that we might be talking about. Find out what specifically that you're very committed about and analyze that commitment. Maybe it's a spiritual commitment or a family commitment or any other kind of commitment. Find out what the commitment is and how do you prove to yourself that you're really committed to that. And you'll analyze and say, well, I do this. I do this, I do this, I do this, and you'll just have a list of them. And then find out something that you want to be more committed to, but you're not. Analyze that and see what you're not doing or what you should be doing. And then compare the two, and you'll see the different levels. The key is to get those levels to match. That is the difference between having a low level of commitment and a very high level of commitment. Again, we'll go through a quick review. Some important things to remember about setting a goal is set as many as you can handle. The most important goals to start off with usually are the internal goals, the psychological limitations, the fear of success, the fear of rejection, fear of failure. Get many of those mastered first. Get them to the point where you can understand how they're unfortunately affecting you and what you can do to change them. By mastering these things, you're going to be able to set these goals a lot quicker and follow through a lot quicker. So keep that in mind. It's important, again, to have these models. Hang around people that you can model and study. Hang around people that think the way you think. And as you set your goals, also reward yourself as you set them and during the process. I think a lot of people fail to succeed in setting their goals because they don't reward themselves along the way. I'm such a firm believer in doing this. We've talked about this earlier. Friends, again, it does not make sense to wear yourself out. If you wear yourself out, when you get there, you're probably not going to enjoy it as much as you think you should because you're just worn out and beat up. So every so often, do something to reward yourself and or your family, whoever's involved, because you've got to keep it fresh. You've got to keep it exciting. I remember years ago, and I've shared this before, it was years. It was literally 5 years before I went and did anything, before I actually went on a vacation. And I'll never forget this day. I was in the Bahamas. It was probably at least 20 years ago or more, and I was in this boat, and I was just looking at this beautiful ocean, and I just said to myself, you know, how stupid have you been for all these years? Because I was under a lot of stress, but I didn't realize how much I was really under until I took some time off and recognized the contrast from seeing this beautiful ocean to working so hard. And I'll never forget the boat. I'll never forget where in the boat I was. I remember it as if it was yesterday. And I will say that that day literally changed the way I do things. And I made it a goal from that point on, as regular as possible, within reason, to take some time off, to breathe and enjoy things a little bit. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It just needs to be some time for myself and my family or whoever's involved. Because if we don't do that, we pull some of the joy out of there. Life is challenging enough as it is, and if we're not enjoying it, you know, we're really not going to really keep going forward consistently. We're going to get burned out. And keep in mind, sometimes you don't have to spend a lot of money to do this stuff. And you know, sometimes maybe you do and you don't have it. Figure out how to get it anyway, because you've got to keep yourself rejuvenated. And if you don't keep yourself rejuvenated, you're going to really have a hard time setting your goals, being consistent, and enjoying the process along the way. So, Clem, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you wrap up.
Gary, I'm just blown away. You get better and better, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you,
Clem. I realize tonight I better start getting more committed.
Well, it's a challenge out there. There's no question about it. And you've had your chair, so let's do it together.
Let's do it. And listen, we just appreciate you so much.